you have your Bibles, why don't you open with me to the Gospel of Matthew? Oh, yeah. We're going to take up an offering. I almost forgot. So I'll ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to pass our offering buckets if you are prepared to give. God bless you for your giving this morning. And once the bucket's passed you by, you can go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I know it's a family service. We've got kids in the room. Parents, don't feel self-conscious. If your kids are making noise, Jesus loves children, and so do we. And so we're thrilled to have the kids in the room. And if it's a bit rowdy in the house of the Lord this morning, we just say amen. So be it. Don't you feel bad at all. And if you have a tendency to give evil glares to parents when their children make noises, knock it off. Repent of your sins, and Jesus will forgive you. Amen, right? Matthew chapter 16. The Lord put one specific verse of Scripture on my heart, but I want to read a few surrounding verses. And starting in verse 24, here's Jesus taking a teachable moment based on some interaction that he's had with Peter. And he then gathers a crowd around, and he takes the opportunity to use Peter's foolishness to the benefit of many. I wonder how many times God uses your foolishness to the benefit of many. Hold on, teachable moment here. Look at what so-and-so just did. No, Jesus doesn't embarrass Peter, but he does use this as a teachable moment. And so I want to read Matthew 16. If you have your Bibles, verse 24, or you can just listen along. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his glory." Let me read verse 26 again. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" The New Living Translation says it like this. "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" This should not be a revelation to any of us in the room. This isn't some groundbreaking insight that Jesus is giving us, and yet it's necessary for us to be reminded of this. Again, let me tell you the context here of what's happening. Peter and the disciples are just interacting with Jesus. Jesus explains to them all of the things that are about to happen, that he's going to have to suffer, he's going to have to die, he's going to die, and then 3 days later be risen from the dead. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? You know what? I actually think that you can, because you get into disagreements with the Lord all the time, don't you? Some of the time. Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him, and Jesus puts a stop to his foolishness. He calls a crowd around, not just the disciples. If you read this same account is it Mark's gospel? In Mark and Matthew, both record this. It says that he calls a crowd. Everybody gather around. Let me give you some insight, because Peter did not yet know what it meant to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He'd been following him for 3 years, but he didn't know what it meant to follow him, because Peter thought, and most of the disciples thought, that to follow Jesus meant to protect him. And so when Jesus says that I'm gonna suffer and I'm gonna die, they're like Jesus' bodyguards, right? We can't let that happen. This can't happen. They want to protect Jesus. Did you know that it's not your job to protect Jesus? Did you know that it's not your job to guard God's reputation? Do you know God's a big boy?
Yeah.
Noah knows. God can stand up for himself. We followers think that we need to stand up for Jesus. Jesus says, let me bring you some clarity as to what it means to be a disciple. Let me read it again. If any of you want to come after me, deny yourself. This sounds like fun, right? You ready? Deny yourself. How many of you are getting excited already? What a sales pitch. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For which one of you would save, sorry, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You say, Pastor Tim, these are harsh words. We're just coming out of Christmas. I've still got the joy of turkey deep, you know, down in my belly. It's New Year's. Could you not bring some encouragement into the house of the Lord this morning? This is a heavy word. Happy New Year. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow Jesus. This is a heavy word. This is a harsh word. Yeah, but it's also a helpful word. Harsh words are helpful if they are heard with humble hearts. Harsh words are helpful when they're heard with humble hearts. I came across Proverbs 16:20 in my Bible. It was highlighted in my Bible, but I felt like I was reading it for the first time. Have you ever done that before? I'm like, I highlighted this, but I don't remember reading it. It says, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. So if your heart is hungry to hear from the Lord this morning, you're going to hear good news, no matter how heavy this feels. You're going to hear good news. Here's the question I want to lay before us this morning. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And at the foundation of this question lies a further challenge, and that is, what is your worldview? Jesus is challenging Peter's, the disciples, all those Jews and Gentiles, whoever was there when he was speaking, he was challenging their worldview, and yours and I worldview. Most people in our world today live with this worldview. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's the worldview of most people in our culture today. I'm just going to get as much stuff as I can. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to find out what careers pay the most money. I'm going to find out how I can store up the most riches that I possibly can, because I want to buy that house, and I want to buy that car, and I want to get that boat, and I want to have that nice coffee table, and I want to have all of these experiences. I want to have that vacation. And my level of joy in life will be in direct correlation to how much stuff I have and how many experiences I have. Come on, don't pretend you're so holy. This is the mindset of our world. Stuff and experiences. Whether it's a house, a car, a boat, a vacation, a new wardrobe, a new TV, a new video game, a new pool in the backyard. And listen to me. There's not that there's anything wrong with any of those things in particular. This is not me giving a rant against stuff. I believe God's word when it says that he gives us all things to richly enjoy. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed your Christmas, and I hope you enjoy your new clothes and your new video games and your new big screen TV and your new pool. Enjoy yourself. Let me take a side moment here to say, if you actually don't enjoy the blessings that God has given you, I believe that is dishonoring to the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, this took a turn for the better, Pastor Tim. I like where you're going with it. Enjoy your stuff, okay? The Lord wants you to enjoy the blessings that he's given you. Don't think that those are all just things that you have given for yourself. No, the Lord has blessed you with those things. So enjoy. However, here's the challenge. Do not make it your life's aim to pursue worldly things. So here's one side. Here's all the stuff that the world has to offer. Money, success, increase, possessions, vacations, experiences. Here's all the stuff that the world has to offer you. And here on the other side, this is the parallel that Jesus is drawing. Here on the other side is your soul. Now the word soul here is the same word for life. It's you. It's the part of you that makes you you. Can you write that down if you're taking notes? It's you. He's not talking about some part of you. When this word is used here, he's saying you, the part of you that's aware of your very existence. Here's all the stuff that money can buy, life can buy, the world can offer. Here's all the relationships. Here's all the power. Here's all the success that the world can bring. And here's you. Now, how many of you would think that it would be a good trade to experience all of this at the expense of this? How many of you are smart enough to know that you can't enjoy this without this? What profit would there be? What benefit could there possibly be to you losing you to gain all of the stuff that only you can enjoy? At the heart of this question, I believe, is this reality. There's nothing more valuable in life than you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that you are at the center of the universe and you are just the most important thing in the world, because newsflash, you're not. What I am saying is that without your life, there's nothing for you to enjoy. The most important thing in your life is your life. It's your soul. So Jesus' statement, his question, seems so obvious. What will it profit a man to gain his whole world, lose his very life? Of course we know this to be true. But then why is it that so many of us live our lives pursuing all of this? Just a little bit more. Pastor Tim, I'll be content. I will. I'm working on it. As soon as I get a little bit more. A little bit more. I remember hearing a pastor tell a story about a conversation he had with his son. He was in grade 9. And the son was in a careers class studying careers, doing research on what was involved in different jobs, how much money they would make. And of course, what are you doing when you're in grade 9 in careers class? You're looking for the most zeros, right? How much money can I make? And so the son came home and asked his father, Dad, is $50,000 a year a lot of money? He thought for a minute and he said, yep, until you make it. Takes a second to sink in, doesn't it? It's a lot of money until you have it. Then you just want a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I'll be content when. I'll be happy when. I just have a little bit more. Oh, once I have this vacation, I just really need a vacation. Can I tell you something? No, you don't. No, you don't. If you're going on vacation, by the way, this week, God bless you. Enjoy. Drink in the rays. But you don't need it. But you can enjoy it. But you don't need it. Okay, you know what I'm saying. Listen to the irony of this. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The irony of this statement. Jesus had this amazing way of saying things that make you go, what? Huh? I'm going to have to think about this for a couple thousand years to figure this out. It's like trying to attain the greatest level of humility just so that you can brag about it. Can I share a recent accomplishment with you? I am such a humble person. It's one of my greatest attributes. See, as soon as you try to attain humility, you've lost it. It's like trying to pick up sand and hold on to that sand. The more firmly you grip onto the sand, the faster it gets pushed through your fingers. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you try to live your life just to enjoy your life, you're going to lose your life. But if you want to experience the joy of life, then give me your life, and you'll have joy unspeakable. One of the wisest men that ever lived was a man named Solomon. If you know the story, God told Solomon he would give him anything that he asked for. And Solomon didn't ask for riches, influence, power, positions. He asked for wisdom. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom, and I'll also give you riches and blessings and positions and honor. And so here's the wisest man who's ever lived. And if you want to meditate on the wisdom of Solomon, I want to encourage you. Here's some good New Year's homework for you. Read through the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not that long, just a few chapters. Let me give you a little bit of a taste of what the wisest man in all of human history outside, of course, of Jesus said. Let me give you verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 1. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Really, Solomon? That's the insight that you're going to give? Let me give you a little bit more. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? All things are full of weariness. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? This is good stuff. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear is never filled with hearing. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Have you ever tried to catch the air? This is what Solomon says. This is vanity. It's like a mist. As soon as you try and catch the air, it escapes from you. And Solomon said, he goes on, read Ecclesiastes, it's fascinating. He goes on to say, I have spent my life trying to pursue earthly pleasure. Let me give you a little bit more. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. He's talking to himself. Enjoy yourself. But behold, also this was vanity. I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. I don't recommend that as homework, by the way. Just take Solomon's word for it. My heart was still guiding me with wisdom, how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under the heavens during the few days of our lives on earth. I made great works. Listen to this. I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made pools from which the waters could flow to grow my trees. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines. Now it's a family service, so explain that, parents, to your children later. So I became great and surpassed all those who were before me. All of my wisdom remained. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep it from me. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and behold, all was vanity, striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. You say, if you read through the first few chapters of Ecclesiastes, you think, Solomon probably needed a good therapist. Like, he needed a strong mentor in his life who could just be like, but, you know, like, put some sunshine on those clouds, buddy. Like, it's a depressing book, the first several chapters. But Solomon, listen to me, Solomon wasn't depressed. He wasn't in some strange, unhealthy, dark place. He was thinking more clearly than most of us think most of our best days. You know what Solomon realized? This earth does not satisfy. It's all vanity. I mean, I hope you enjoy the vacation, but you know what you're going to want 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 18 months from now? Another vacation! It doesn't last. Hunter Thompson was a well-known American journalist. He wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, was one of his biggest works. He said this, life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, body thoroughly used up, totally worn out, Chardonnay in one hand and chocolate in the other, shouting, woo-hoo, what a ride. That about sums up our world's perspective on life, right? You only live once, Pastor Tim. Just enjoy. Let me give you some better wisdom. Here's how C.S. Lewis put it. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If everything that I chase after in this world leaves me wanting more, it must mean that there's something more for me. So follow me here. Jesus says you're going to have to change your worldview. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not about church attendance. It's not about tithing. It's not about changing your Apple Music playlist. If you're going to be a follower of me, Jesus says, you're going to have to change the way that you think. You're going to have to die to yourself, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You say, some of you in the room are going to think, Pastor Tim, this is a dark message. This is a depressing message. I believe this is a message of great hope and encouragement. Because I believe each and every one of us have lived long enough to know that sometimes life is disappointing. And maybe you've just been through a Christmas and we're just on the first day of the new year. Maybe you're in a season right now where life has not been fun. And you're a little short on joy in your household. And you've got all kinds of conflict and strife and suffering around you. Here's my encouragement to you today. Here's Jesus' encouragement to you today. There's another life ahead waiting for you. And I want us to hope and pray and believe that there's good days ahead on planet Earth. Don't misunderstand me. It's not about suffering and miserably making our way through this world until the sweet by and by. We are supposed to experience God's goodness on this earth. However, in moments of great disappointment and despair and suffering, here's the hope that you have. Heaven's coming. I'm not made for this world. And so if this world doesn't satisfy me, that must mean I've got another life, another home coming my way. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Let me flip that around and say this another way. What would you gain if you would seek first the kingdom of God? What would you gain if instead of seeking the things of this world, you said, my life's about Jesus? I'm going to live my life to pursue him with every fiber of my being. Would you just let me pray for you this morning, and then we're going to take communion together. I'll ask Pastor Kevin to come up in just a moment. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for your word that is harsh but good. Lord, that you come and you speak the truth of your word to bring us life. And I thank you, Father, for giving us the offer of being your followers and being your disciples. And I pray in this room there would not be one person who would leave this place today without deciding to be your follower. Lord, may we be a people who daily deny ourselves and choose to follow you. Lord, may we be a people who honor you and bring you glory and praise because you died to give us new life. Everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, and the presence of your precious Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.